In order to proceed with Birchas Krishma, in order to take a step forward, we need to take two steps back. Surprise, surprise. I've been withholding from you another angle in Psukei Dezimra, which we really concluded 2 weeks ago, that we need to go back and revisit in order to properly understand Birchas Krishma. I will also tell you that on the outlines, I way over-prepared here, so we're not going to cover it. We'll, God willing, cover it next week. Here are the issues. Let's take a look. There should be some sidurim around. If not, you really should lay hands on some sidurim here. You'll see the pasuk in Mizmar L'Saida, right after Baruch Sha'amar. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, serve Hashem with joy. Bayu lefonav birnana, come before him with, how do they translate it in Art Scroll? Okay, gladness. Huh?
Joyous song.
So the word rinana, by the way, we have a kali here today. You'll note that in Sheva Brachas you have the word gila rina ditza v'chedva. It's another form of the word of joy. So obviously each of these words has a different meaning. What is the distinction between simcha and rina, or gila and rina? How do each of these words apply? The Zohar HaKadosh, the source of the Kabbalistic works, says simcha b'tzafra, that the time for simcha is in the morning. Rinana b'ramsha, the time for rina, the time for rinana, is at night. So we now have a time of day attributed to these two different words. One of them is in the morning, and one of them is at night. So in one of his Mamorim on Chanukah, the Balatanya says as follows, that all of creation, we're told, and this is something, again, found in many different Svarim, that in essence, all of creation sings a song. The essence of creation. Shlomo HaMelech understood the speech of all the birds and animals. We say in Tehillim, in Psukei Dezimra, we talk about the song which is sung by the valleys and the hills and by the trees and by the birds. Everything is singing songs. When you see those huge masses of birds flying in formation, it's a song and a dance. They're singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the greatest singers of all, the great singers of creation, are the angels. The angels, their essence is an essence of song. We're out of sheets? Okay. Yeah, did anybody take more than one of sheet number? So the angels are known, and we say this especially in the Brachas of Krishma. We talk about the song sung by the angels. What does this song mean? What is the essence of a song? Many of the Svarim write, what's a niggun? What's the essence of a song? If you have something to say, why don't you just say it? Right? What's the essence of a song? A song is something that can't be captured in words. A song is a feeling which is so powerful that it needs to be expressed in a form other than verbally. It's interesting that I believe this comes from the Breslov Chassidim, who say that a song without words is deeper than a song with words, because the words limit the expression of the melody to those particular words, whereas a niggun that has no words is a boundless yearning. It's a she'ifa. It speaks of a longing which is not limited to any particular words. So if the angels are the beings of song, what are they yearning for? What's the essence? What is it that for which they long? So we're told that every being yearns for its source. The flame is used as an example. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. A person is compared to a flame. A flame is always constantly jumping, trying to get out of its connection with the wick and trying to jump towards its source. That's what the flickering flame, the dancing of the flame, is the flame trying to reconnect with its source. And so too do we understand that the neshama of the person yearns for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nafshi chayla sahavasecha, my soul is love sick towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
If an angel is created for a specific purpose.
So here's how we understand this. We understand that the angels are yearning for Hashem. Kulam ahuvim, kulim berurim, we say in Davening, they're all pure. They're the purity of their love and their passion, it's all directed towards their source. But here's the problem. Remember, we have the four worlds of creation, the four steps of creation, which go from the highest world, which is Atzilus, to the next world, which was Bria, to the next world, which is Yetzira, until we come to our world, this physical world called the Olam HaAsiya. And there are angels, we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago, there are angels which are created in the last of the three worlds. So that there are angels that we talk about in Berachas Kriyat Shema which are created in Olam HaBriya. There are angels that we talk about in Kriyat Shema which are created in Olam HaYetzira. And there are angels which are created in this world. They and all created beings yearn for their source and do nothing but yearn for their source. The angels are always singing a song of longing and yearning. That's their entire existence. Even angels that have a specific mission, that is the form of their song. But due to the fact that they are creations who are created in the process of creation, in the process of the emanations of these worlds, they yearn for their source and never stop yearning and will never arrive at their source. Because due to the fact that they were built in the system, they cannot get out of the system. So they yearn for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they will always be limited to that yearning. Now, the human being, in its natural state, in its pure state, would also always be yearning for Hashem. Only with the distinction of the fact that we are distracted. We're distracted by two things. The first one is not such a noble thing, and the second one is a very noble thing. The reason a human being doesn't constantly or at all times expire in its love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in its yearning for Hashem, is because we have a Yetzer Hara. We have a Nefesh HaBahami. And it moves our attention away from that yearning. The angels have no distractions. So they spend all of their time in Shir and Zimra. They spend all their time singing these songs of love and yearning. We have kitchens to tend to. We have other things. You know, we have electronics. We have all different kinds of things that distract our attention from that yearning. Fine. Whatever the case is, we have, right. They don't have distractions. What's more is that we need to understand that their yearning compared to the what we'll soon discuss as the yearning of Klal Yisrael, is a chitzonius dika yearning. Chitzonius is a Hebrew word which means external. Whereas the yearning of the Jew is a pnimius dika, an internal one. What's the difference? So they give a mashal, discuss a parable of ministers of a king who are in front of the king, spend the vast majority of their time in the presence of the king. You'll never find them turning to one another in front of the king and singing his praises, because he's right there. There's no need when you're in front of the king to discuss the praises of the king. Which when they go out of the palace and they meet other people who don't know the king as well, then they sing his praises. The angels, in all of their singing, are yearning because they're outside of the palace. Their songs are songs of chitzonius. Like they're singing Kodesh, 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 and Baruch Kaved Hashem Im Kaim, and all these lofty songs. At Yom Kippur night, after we finish Kol Nidre, we stay later and sing these Shira Kavod, which are the songs that the angels sing. Beautiful, magnificent songs that the angels sing. But they're all songs from the outside of the palace. And we're going to draw this contrast to Klal Yisrael, who are singing an internal song. And we need to touch upon this in two different ways. This is just a very intriguing idea. What are the two limitations of every creation compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There are two fundamental limitations. One of them is time, and the second is space. Unlike HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are limited by those two factors. We're limited by time, and we're limited by space. Those two creations, namely time and space, are that which we've been discussing over time, is this concept of Malchus, is this kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is distant from Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules from afar, nonetheless sustains moment by moment with His Word. And it's most beautifully brought out, if you want to look in your Siddurim, it's on page 72, otherwise you could look here on the outline. In Ashrei, Malchuscha, Malchus Kol Elamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where do we see your Malchus, your kingship? It is the kingship of all of the worlds, namely space. The other presence of your kingship is Bechol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, namely time. So the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses itself in the limitations of human existence in both of these realms, in space and in time. That's the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's perhaps most powerfully brought out. In space, we all kind of have an understanding of this. That's what we've been discussing mostly over the past few weeks. But when we want to bring out this concept in davening, we proclaim Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimlech Li'olam Vo'ad. We bring the word of Malchus, of kingship, and we talk about it in the past, the present, and the future. Namely, time itself is Malchus. It is another expression of this concept of kingship, is the limitation of time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expression in time. The angels, if you take a look in Musaf on Shabbos, on page 502, we make the following statement. Here's really the perhaps one of the most powerful, this is one of the songs that we sing during Musaf. Kivoidai malei olam. The glory, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world. Nonetheless, Misharsav Shayalim, his angels ask, Ayim ekaim kivoidai. Where is his place? The angels, there's a block. They're built in a box. They're built within this order of creation. They can't get beyond it. The angels are locked into the order of creation. Whereas Klal Yisrael is able to see, as we discussed last week, it's Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. From the angels, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely removed. Malai Kol Haaretz Kivaydei. Where is Hashem's covenant? It's with us. So the angels are left with the question. Even when they say, Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Kamim, blessed is Hashem from his place, they don't know what that place is. So the angels are left with their yearning and their longing. That's the essence of an angel. That concept is the concept of Rinana, of Rina. Rina is yearning. There are other proofs that I want to get into. There are many psukim that point to this, but the concept of Rinana and Rina, we have it in the pasuk Vitzid Kascha Yiranenu, again in Rashi, in Ashrei. The concept of Rina is yearning. And therefore, the Zohar HaKadosh, if you look back up at letter A in section 1, says, Simcha is Bitzafra, Rinana is Biramsha. Rina is at night. Rina is where there is concealment. There is Rina. Ramsha is night. Aramaic. Where there is concealment, there is yearning. Wherever there is the hidden presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, that we can't perceive Him, and we yearn and we can't find it, that's Rina. Is it a positive? We're going to discuss in a second how it becomes even more positive. Yeah, it's the essence of the angels. All of creation is yearning for its source. But here's the second distraction that the angels don't have, that the benefit that Klal Yisrael does have. And that is that the angels yearn and can't find. The angels have longing and never arrive. Klal Yisrael, the Jew, has something called Torah and Mitzvahs. And here we need to go ahead to Kriya Shema for a moment. You look in the Shema, it begins with V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem, you got page 96. B'chol levavcha, with all your heart, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol meidecha. That's the first pasuk, is the command to love Hashem. Then the pasuk says as follows: V'hoyu hadvarim ha'ela, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha. These words that I command you today should be upon your hearts. And the Zohar again, every time the Torah uses the word Anochi, says Anochi mi she Anochi. The Zohar says that the Torah is coming to tell us something very, very powerful here. That there's a major distinction between the time that the Torah uses one of Hashem's names, either the shame of Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey, or the name Elohim, and when the Torah uses the word Anochi. Invariably, any one of Hashem's names deal with a certain aspect of godliness. The name of Havaya is the name of kindness. The name of Elohim is the name of judgment. Each one of those names deals with some form of conduct, even in human terms. What's a name? If a person is living alone on an island, do they need a name? There's no purpose for a name. A name is a relational thing. A name is used in order to relate to another being. When the Torah uses Anoichi, the Zohar is saying, it refers to a direct relationship. Mi she'anoichi, you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His essence, whatever that means. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in His command for us to love Him is saying to us, you know why you should love God? Because v'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anoichi mitzavecha. The word mitzvah, as we've discussed in the past, does not only mean command. It means to unify, it means to connect. In Aramaic, the word is tzavsa. A chavrusa, a partner, a spouse, is called a tzavsa. Anoichi mitzavecha hayayim. You, Klal Yisrael, need to understand that every time you perform a mitzvah, you are connecting with Anoichi. No names, the Almighty Himself. We are bonding ourselves with something which is far above and beyond any order of creation. Anoichi misha anoichi. We are bonding ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. That's Simcha. Simcha is the revelation of something which is concealed. The process of davening is very precise. It begins with joining the rest of creation. Our bodies are part of the rest of creation. We go through all the motions of the brachas and psukei de zimra, recognizing that as human beings, as physical beings, we are part of creation and we yearn for our source. We go through the motions of rina, of yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were tzaddikim that used to expire. They would physically faint from the yearning they had to get out of the prison, the shackles of their body that entrapped their neshama. The neshama wants to go back to its source. It yearns to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the angels, they yearn. We read about the angels yearning. Kulam ahuvim, kulam berurim. They're screaming Kaddish. They're screaming Baruch Kavod Hashem im Kamei. They're singing these songs of longing and yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Rina. And then we say, just wait a second. The angels have nothing else to do. They're not distracted. Not only are they not distracted by physical terms, but we, Klal Yisrael, have the ability and the mission in the world, as we talked about last week, of Lasos Dira B'Tachtonim, of making a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu here among the low. How? By bringing this exposure that we talked about, by bringing this this light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the concealment of the world every time we interact with the world through Torah and Mitzvahs. We illuminate the concealment. We lift the veil of Teva, of nature, every time we interact with the world in a mitzvah. And therefore, there is no reason to leave. A Jew can be very comfortable in this world, because unlike the angels who have to leave their existence to cling to their source, we have the ability of accessing our source right here. Asher anoichi mitzavecha hayom. We have the ability right here, through our interaction with Torah and mitzvahs, to bring about that connection in our physical bodies. So the relationship that the Jew has in connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unlike anything else in creation. Only here we're talking about that everything else yearns to expire, to return to its source, and the Jew has no need to do that because we have the ability of bringing that light down to the world. And here I'd like you to focus on one very, very delicate difference between davening and all other forms of fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs. The whole first part of davening involves the similarity to us and the rest of nature. Basically, if you go up into the realm of the angels, all streets are one-way streets. It's all the angels yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all one way. It's expiration. It's longing. The Jew lives in a two-way street. The body yearns for its source. The neshama recognizes that we have the ability of not yearning for godliness, but bringing godliness into the world. So we have actually a two-way street. But what happens, what we have to recognize, is that the entire first section of davening is the process of longing. That is what it's designed to do. It's to create the same longing which exists in the rest of creation and the angels. And this is why one of the reasons that it's brought from many different people. Most recently, Chani showed it to me in the Hamadiyah, even from Rav Shach, who was said that davening and learning don't belong together. People who learn during davening are missing the boat because There's two opposite motions going here. Learning Torah is bringing the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down into the world. Davening is about yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the opposite motion. It's the effect is the opposite effect. It's going the wrong way on a one-way street. You get a ticket. Davening, certainly the beginning parts of davening are about expiring, but reaching for Hashem. The fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs is about bringing godliness down into the world. And therefore in Judaism, the night precedes the day. Because the day is illuminating the world with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's simcha. And in order to experience the simcha, there first needs to be the rina, there needs to be the longing, which is a product of the concealment. And therefore in Judaism, the night precedes the day. If you go back to letter A in section 1, and now you look at this pasuk, you'll see that the pasuk has a whole different meaning. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. A Jew has the ability and the directive of serving Hashem b'simcha. Serving Hashem with joy. How can a Jew attain that? When it's bayu lefanov birnana, if you come before the simcha with yearning. A Jew can experience the joy if he yearns. When a Jew yearns for Hashem and then experiences the closeness to Hashem that only the Jew has access to, then they can experience the feelings of joy. What I'm going to share with you now is perhaps the most revolutionary idea that we've come across so far. And it's going to take some time to work into your systems. You have to swallow it many times before it takes effect. And it's a slow process because it means uprooting something which has been around a long time. And again, I'm telling you this just so that everyone can accept it with comfort, that this is something which is brought in many places in Sifrei Chassidus. Zayder Matala speaks about it in several places. The Bala Tanya, we'll learn a piece inside from the Bala Tanya where he discusses it. But in order to make it palatable to everybody, I did some researching last night. And the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim of Volozhin, who is the chief disciple of the Vilna Gaon, certainly in areas of Kabbalah, says, you can write down the source, it's in Shar Beis, Perek Beis, writes almost the identical thing. This is from the Nefesh HaChaim, from Reb Chaim of Volozhin. I haven't until now, but I want, the fact is that my version of it is an old version. I need to get one that has a clearer, better indexes and so on, so I could search for things easier. And here's the issue. Vav, Vav, Aleph, Lamed, Zayin, Yud, Nun, Volozhin. And here's the issue. Issue goes back to the Rishonim yet. And that is, what's the meaning of the word Baruch? Word which we use numerous, numerous times throughout our day, and certainly numerous times throughout davening. Baruch Ato Hashem. And to use the words of Reb Chaim of Volozhin, a person who translates Baruch Ata Hashem as blessed are you Hashem is foolishness. It can't be what it means because Hashem does not need our blessings. So some of the Rishonim say that the word means Baruch Ata Hashem, you are the source of blessing Hashem. Okay, that's an acceptable translation of Baruch Ata Hashem. Rabbeinu Bechaye was one of the great Jewish philosophers and thinkers, says that Baruch Ata Hashem, according to the Nigla of Torah, according to the revealed parts of Torah, means Hashem, you are the source of blessing. But both Reb Chaim of Volozhin and certainly the Talmid Baal Shem interpret the word Baruch to mean to draw upon Hashem. It's a Lashon of Hamshacha, Lashon of drawing, not drawing as what you do with coloring, with crayons and coloring books. That would go, the Brecha actually goes with the other one, of Hashem being the source of blessing. This one comes from a verb, which is Hamavrich Es HaIlan. There was a form in agriculture where they took trees somehow, or certain plants, and they took the top end and planted the top end in the ground. So it was somebody who takes the top and bends it in. You draw the plant down to the ground. Huh? Pulling, drawing from pulling, yes. Drawing down. Is that what they do? Okay. So here's the issue. Here, let me give you the examples. First of all, we need to understand something very fundamental. You're either speaking to someone or you're speaking about someone. When you speak to someone, you normally don't say their name, you say you. When you're speaking about someone, you say their name, you usually don't speak to them saying you. Yet when we say a bracha, we say, Baruch Ata, speaking directly to Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. And then we refer to Hashem's name. So there seems to be a contradiction right there in every bracha. Either it should be, like there are psukim which say, Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'yamein, blessed is Hashem from one world to the next. That makes sense. But Baruch Ata, blessed are you, Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, is a very strange way of expression. Now you remember, and we're speaking now specifically about Birchas HaMitzvahs, the bracha that we say before we do a mitzvah. And remember, the goal of the mitzvah is to bring this emanation, this presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down into the concealment of this world, to blow the cover of this world, and to proclaim this world as being fully under God's control. As we said earlier, the names of Hashem are the relational names. Those are the names with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with his world. Hashem is Midas HaChesed, Elohim is Midas HaDin, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, as we've discussed over the past weeks, that is the force of nature, that is the concealment which exists, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with Shem Elohim. Bereish is Bara Elohim, Es HaShemayim V'Sarets. With this name of Elohim, Hashem created heaven and earth. Baruch, I draw upon Ata, directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you, no names, Anochi, that we discussed before, Baruch Ata, I draw upon you, Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, into the names of creation, into the process of creation, to proclaim you as King over the world. Baruch, I draw upon Ata, you directly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I draw those emanations from you directly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, to proclaim you as King over the world. In what fashion? How am I doing this now? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayso v'tzivanu, who has connected me l'adlik ner shel Shabbos. How am I proclaiming, how am I bringing an entire new emanation of godliness into the world, directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the process of creation? Through the fulfillment of this mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the opportunity through this fulfillment of this mitzvah to bring about a presence into the world so that the concept of Malchus will not be hidden, will not be concealed under the veil of nature, but rather I am exposing it. Let's see it inside. Go to the first appendix and you'll see how he expresses it. Look at the underlined section. The inyan bracha zu, the concept of a bracha before a mitzvah, hu liyos hamshacha v'habracha me'olam v'yad olam, is to draw upon and to create this emanation, this flow, this bounty from one world to the next, kidei liyos gilui melech ha'olam, that there'll be a revelation of the king of the world, liyos b'chinas olam b'chinas melech, that the world itself, it will be clear the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dahainu, that is to say, that there should be a revelation of Hashem's kingdom, which will be seen by all of our eyes. It should be our prayers that through the fulfillment of this mitzvah that I'm doing now, through my interaction with the world in this fashion, I want to bring about a revelation of godliness in the world, that it should be seen to everyone. That the world should stop being a veil, a facade, a concealment of Hashem's presence. And this is completely consistent with what we discussed last week, that the goal of Torah and Mitzvahs is Gilui Malchus. It's the revelation of Hashem's presence. It's creating a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu here in the physical world. So it's the bracha is a form of a prayer, a form of a focus point. What is it that I'm going to do now by through this action? I am revealing Malchus Shemayim to the world. I'm removing the facade of nature. I'm proclaiming HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech over the world. And we're going to discuss over time, that we only discussed it in the aspect of brachas that we say before we do a mitzvah. The same is going to be true of all of the brachas that we're going to make. This is the same idea. The word Baruch, as I am drawing upon Ata Hashem, you are Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm drawing Ata, I'm drawing you into Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, is going to be consistent throughout davening. Just as a simple thing. Baruch Hu es Hashem HaMavaruch. This one thing that we say, it has to be said with 10 Jews. Draw HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, and the call responds, Baruch Hashem HaMavaruch, the Olam Void. We are drawing through the Avodas HaTfilah, through the presence of having 10 Jews together, that brings about the presence of the Shekhinah. We, as a group, Baruch Hashem HaMavaruch, Li Olam Void, we are drawing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does Li Olam Void mean? La'olam void is either in time, forever, or la'olam void into the greatest levels of concealment, into the furthest points of physical concealment. I'm drawing Hashem's presence, la'olam void, into the most distant places of concealment. Yeah. I want to draw your attention to one more thing, because I believe that this will add to a whole new dimension. Page 458. There's a pasuk in Parshas Bereshis that says, Va'avram v'sara zekenim ba'im bayamim. Avram and Sarah were zekenim, were old. Ba'im bayamim, they came with their days. And obviously the Mefarshim ask, what's the distinction between somebody who's old, who doesn't come with their days, or somebody who comes with their days, who is not old? What does this language of coming with their days mean? And the interpretation that's used is on the bracha of where we say in Shmona Esrei, Uvenei Oisa Bikarev Biyameinu Binyan Olam. And may you build her, referring to Yerushalayim, quickly, Biyameinu, in our days. I believe it's the Zerik Kodesh from the Rav Shitzurov that says, not Biyameinu in our days, but Biyameinu with our days. That our days, day by day, rebuild Yerushalayim. In fact, he related from Rabbi the Melech of Lezhensk, who said that when he used to do Aliyas Neshama, when his soul would elevate heavenward during davening, that he saw the horrible destruction that took place every day to the Beis HaMikdash through the Averis of Klal Yisrael. But when the Chayza's mitzvahs at the end of the day came up, he rebuilt everything that was destroyed. So Uvenei Oysa, we plead with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rebuild Yerushalayim B'yameinu with our days. Our days, and it, which is very consistent with what we're discussing, because we're talking about creating revelation with our mitzvahs, with our actions. That creates this revelation, removes the facade of nature, which will ultimately bring about the great revelation of Hashem's presence, which will be able to be seen, like we talked about last week. At some point, we'll be able to perceive that. Right now, due to the fact that we're living in physical bodies, we don't perceive the emanations that we bring about through our Torah mitzvahs. But that's what the time to come is all about, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the cataracts from our eyes, and we're able to behold the revelation that we bring about. Take a look at Mim Kaim Chana. Right, we just finished talking about the yearning of the angels. Karazel Zev Yamar Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. Bottom of the page. Baruch Kavod Hashem Mim Kaim. Now we have this wonderful song that we sing. Mim Kaim Cha Malkeinu Sofia. From your place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should you appear. V'sim Leich Aleinu, and we plead with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reign upon us. Ki Mechakim Anachnu Lach, because we yearn for you. And we then pose the question, Mosai Tim Leich B'tzion, when will you reign in Tzion, Hashem? And we answer the question. You know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reign B'tzion? Bikarov B'yameinu, soon with our days. We are the ones who bring about that revelation. Bikarev B'yameinu, li'olam voed tishkain, we bring about the presence of the Shekhinah, li'olam voed, into the most distant places in this world. Bikarev B'yameinu, in our days. And then we continue the tefillah. Tiskadal v'siskadesh b'soich Yerushalayim Yerch, we pray to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become great and hallowed within the physical confines of Yerushalayim, your city. That's the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in space. L'dar v'dar u'lenetzach netzachim, and for all time. That both of these veils of concealment, the physical space, and the veil of time be lifted. And we conclude the prayer with Ve'einenu Sirena Malchusecha, Rabbeinu Shlalem, allow our eyes to behold your Malchus. As you write in the words of David HaMelech, Yimloich Hashem li'olam, Hashem is destined to rule in space. Elikayach Tzion, L'dor v'dor haleluka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is destined to reign openly and explicitly in space, in Yerushalayim, Ircha, and l'dor v'dor, and in time, l'netzach netzachim, forever. That's our avoda. Yeah. So now, let's take this home. We go through Pesukah Dezimra. We talk about the yearning. We go through Birchas Krishma, the first Baruch of Krishma. We talk about the yearning of the angels and the longing of the angels, and they can never arrive. And then we go to the bracha of Krishma on page 92. And we begin this unbelievable love song with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ahavas Olam Ahavtanu Hashem Elokeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you love us so much. Chemla G'dayla V'yaseira Chamaltal, and you've had such an unbelievable expression of mercy upon the Jew. Because unlike anything else that we've spoken about in davening up until this point that yearns and longs and can never arrive, we the Jew, we have the ability through Torah and mitzvahs of connecting. And we go through this entire bracha asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for success in this ability that we have to draw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence into the world, into connecting through this direct method. And we conclude the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed are you Hashem. Habaycher Ba'ama Yisrael Bi'ava, who has chosen us with love. It's all about this unbelievable sense of love and privilege that Klal Yisrael are given, that we have the ability to connect, that we have the ability to draw this emanation directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the concealment of this world, unlike anything else that we've spent the last 3-4 sections of davening speaking about. Klal Yisrael has the ability of direct connection. This week we spoke about some of the simpler things to focus upon in this bracha. Next week in Mitzvah Shem we will conclude this bracha of Krishma and move on to the Shema itself. Wow.